This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Legal Shield. Because peace of mind starts with being prepared. As a parent and an advocate, I know how important it is to have access to legal support, especially when navigating the challenges of autism advocacy. With Legal Shield, you'll have 24/7 access to a dependable network of attorneys for advice on every IEP meeting and school accommodation to understand your rights as a caregiver. Also, those transitional times for guardianship and other legal matters, such as trust, wills, and other things. It is affordable and easy to use and designed to give you the tools needed to confidently face life legal challenges. Whether you are dealing with contracts, legal documents, or simply just need advice, Legal Shield is here to help. Protect your family, advocate for your loved ones, handle life's curveballs with confidence. Visit the link in the show notes below to learn more how to sign up today. Legal Shield empowers families one step at a time. Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey, the podcast where we explore complexities, breakthroughs, and unfiltered realities of lives touched by autism. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, here to guide you through heartfelt stories, expert insights, empowering conversations. Whether you are a parent, a sibling, a grandparent, an educator, or an advocate, professional in the space, this is your space to find community. Ask the hard questions and uncover new possibilities. Let's dive in. Welcome to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey. I'm your host, Ruth Castle, and today we are diving into a crucial topic: understanding the differences between nonverbal and mentally verbal individuals on the spectrum. This episode isn't just about labels. It's about breaking misconceptions, exploring alternative forms of communication, and giving you actionable insights and resources to better support your loved one. Nonverbal versus mentally verbal. What is the difference? So, defining nonverbal and mentally verbal. Nonverbal reference to an individual who does not use verbal speech to communicate. This often includes those like alternative communication methods, such as like AAC, the augmented an alternative communication device or letterboards. Minimally verbal describes an individual who may have spoken words or phrases, but struggles to use speech consistently to communicate. Sometimes social settings are too hard for them to communicate what they are truly meaning. Another thing I would like to highlight is Gestalt language processing. Gestalt processing learns language in chunks or scripts rather than just going through traditional word-by-word learning. While they may have speech, but their language is developing path differs, and it's significantly different. Unreliable speech. Some individuals may have speech, but cannot consistently use it to communicate their thoughts accurately, and this can lead to misunderstanding about their cognitive abilities and their needs. We're going to look at the role of apraxia and its speech challenges and dive into exactly what is apraxia. Now, remember in the last few episodes, I talked about apraxia a little bit, and there is some that comes with autism, but like I said, we're going to dive deeper into apraxia a little bit today, and it's going to have its own episode as well. Apraxia is a motor and speech disorder where the brain struggles to coordinate the movement needed for speech. This can make speech production inconsistent or impossible even if the individual understands language. So for in my son's case, he has severe apraxia, so he has it in all the areas. So he has apraxic of speech. He has ocular apraxia, and he also has muscular apraxia. So this makes it difficult because his body is not talking to any of these that should be normal. Apraxia is often misunderstood as a cognitive delay, but it is actually a motor planning issue. This is where the nonverbal and the minimal verbal individuals might really thrive with alternate communication methods because of those demands being placed. So let's dive into those alternative methods. Let's dive into alternative communication tools and strategies for our non-speakers' communication methods. Spelling to communicate. It is an approach that uses letterboards to help individuals express themselves. It also helps with regulation. If your body is not regulated, it is not going to be able to spell the words out on the letterboard. So regulation is before spelling. Even though they know how to spell, it's regulation is key. Key to everything for actually anyone. If you're not regulated, you can't do anything. You can't sit still long enough. You know, it's not just for our kids. Regulation is huge. And that is a big component of spelling to communicate, is regulating your body and helping those nervous systems that aren't talking to each other learn how to talk to each other through verbal coaching. Like, tell your, like, for my son, I'll give an example. My son will lay down on the floor, but I want him to do a task. He's not avoiding the task. Sometimes it looks like behavior, but it's not, because he can't get up. I know it sounds weird. He can't get up, but when I motor coach him, I tell him what he needs to do step by step. So he's laying on the floor. I was like, okay, I need you to roll over to your left side. Okay, we're going to push through our feet. Good. You know, and I have to repeat it. Okay, push through your feet. Push through your feet. Okay. Okay, now you're on your toes. Push, push, push. Get those heels down. Get those heels down. Got it, got it. Good. And then he'll get up. So I explain it to you like that because there's a lot of motor coaching that goes on for just getting up sometimes. Sometimes there's a lot of motor coaching for him to come and sit down and do his work at the table. All right, let's bring our body to the chair. You got this. You can do this. Tell your body it can do it. Since utilizing this approach with my son, I have seen so much change in his behaviors because he wasn't able to convey, and I was thinking it was more behavioral, and it's not. It is actually because we didn't have an apraxic diagnosis. I had heard of apraxia, didn't know it was a standalone thing. Then when I looked into the failing to communicate and I got to learn more about it, then yes, I found out that it is a standalone, and now he does have an apraxic diagnosis, and found out that it is in all three areas. Also found out that he was diagnosed when he was 6 months. He was diagnosed with strabismus in his left eye, and it actually turned out that it was ocular apraxia, not strabismus. So the more you know and the more you learn. It's not going to be the same case for every child, but that was the case in ours. Now, talking about AAC devices, you want to have tablets or a dedicated device just with the individual's selected phrases for it. Now, for our AAC episode, I'm going to go in a little bit more about how to use it. My son is on a 77 grid. That is actually what they recommend starting them out with, is a large grid with a lot of options. Some professionals are not going to agree with that. And I have done the ProLoquo and one other one. It was something cat to talk. It's a free program, and I can put those in the resources below too in the show notes. But they say to start on the largest grid and then back down for scanning purposes, for to teach them to scan. It's more about the software than the words. So I'm not saying going against the professionals that you work with in your life. This is a part where you would have to advocate, and it might not be the best for your child. I'm not saying that either. What I would do, no matter what AAC device you end up getting, you need to look at the recommendations from the tech side, because how they are built, most all of them are built by therapists, and there is a reason why they are the way they are. I encourage you to do your research on your own app when you get it, and then advocate, whether it be to the therapist or to the teacher, that they need to stay on that grid. Because I've had to do that, and my son has done very well on the 77 grid. We did not need to change it from the 77 grid. I did exactly how the program said to run the program that they wrote. So I'm running the application for the AAC device just as it was designed. Yes, there are some modifications for my child. It is not right out of the box, but it is still on a 77 grid, and there is a science to it, and there's a science behind each one. So now we're going to talk about sign language. Sign language can be useful for mentally verbal individuals who can physically produce the signs. So like in my son's case with his apraxia, he could only do a few signs that you will actually know what they are, like universal, like actual sign language. Then there's some that I know that is modified, which are not. I just know what it means. So sign language is great for those mentally verbal individuals. Why the alternative communications, why they're so essential? It validates the individuality for the child to be able to communicate their complex thoughts and emotions, and regardless of their verbal ability. I mean, my son, he will tell you on his AAC, make me French fries air fryer, or I want YouTube. I love YouTube. He absolutely loves to tell me things with his AAC. Spelling to communicate. I have so many good stories from him spelling to communicate, not only just about regulation, but I will give you guys a real good one. I was spelling with him, and I misspelled the word. I misspelled it, and he went and fixed it. And then we were spelling on the board, because there's two different ways that we do it. One's for regulation, and then one is to actually to become an open speller, which means that he can get his open thoughts out of spelling and stuff. But he has to get more motor control. My son's not there yet because of his motor control. But when we were spelling on the board, I was trying to get him to get another letter. But the problem was that I was wrong and he was right. So he was correcting me. I was like, okay. And what was funny is that happened in front of his practitioner too. And she just started laughing because she didn't catch it either. So that's funny.
It's very funny. So I love that he is, you know, opening up and like, no, mom, like you spelled it wrong. The word that I spelled wrong was, I don't remember the one on the board, but I remember the one that we were doing for motor regulation, and it was lizard. I spelled lizard wrong. And he looked at the word, it was like, and looked back at me because he knew I put it up on the wall. And he fixed it before we did motor. And yeah. So, I mean, that's wonderful. He knows that the word was spelled incorrectly. And I was like, I don't even remember the letters that I mixed up, but I spelled it wrong. So, but it makes me happy that he recognized that. So again, here are some resources and supports. So occupational therapy, obviously, will help. This will help with the motor planning and coordination and can improve access to those alternative communication. Speech therapy, that will help with the training for the AAC. Please, 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 no matter what app you end up going with, please take their training, that how to use their equipment. They all provide it. And then motor-based interventions such as prompt therapy to help with apraxia. That's also through speech as well. ProloQuotesAGO is a popular app for AAC. Speak for Yourself is another application that people can use, and it is user-friendly. Letterboard and keyboards as used in spelling to communicate. The Speller's Guidebook. Also, another great resource is the Speller's Film. Empowering Families and Caregivers for a Mindset Shift. Emphasize that being nonverbal or mentally verbal doesn't equate to the lack of intelligence or understanding. We're going to discuss the importance of presuming competence, okay? Some people and some professionals will say that this is a dangerous thing and you shouldn't do it. I look at it in this way. When your child first took their first step, did you say, oh no, don't get up, don't do that, and keep setting them down or putting them in like a bouncy or something where they couldn't get up and move around? No! You encouraged them to take those first steps. You presumed that they could do that action because they are so close and you know they can do it. And sometimes this feels very hard to do. It's not, doesn't feel very natural to do with our kids. But our children are already struggling, like in my son's case, with his apraxia. He's already struggling trying to get his body to do what it needs to do. So I presume confidence that he can do this. I just got to be his biggest cheerleader to get him, to help him, to motor coach him, to presume the confidence that he can do it. And he's going to need a cheerleader on his side. Advocating tips for parents. So advocating for AAC devices in your IEP meetings. This is asking therapists and doctors for specific questions about motor planning and alternate communication. Caregivers, the self-care. Remember to take care of our own emotions and our physical health. The journey can be challenging, but deeply rewarding. Remember to fill your cup first. And that was episode 2. So I'm going to put that in there to remind you. And we're going to have more episodes on self-care because it is so detrimental to our overall health of our family that we take care of ourselves. Thank you for joining me on this journey today as we explore the world of nonverbal and minimally verbal communication. Remember, communication isn't about speaking, it's about connecting. Every child has a voice. It is up to us to help them find it. Be sure to subscribe to Finding Your Identity in Your Autism Journey and join me next week as we dive deep into another important topic, the world of AAC. Together, we will learn, grow, and empower each other. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to Finding Your Identity in your autism journey. I hope today's episode inspired you, brought you some clarity, or simply reminding that you are not alone. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed this conversation, leave a review and share it with someone who might need it. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your voice matters, and together we can navigate this journey one step at a time.